This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Hello, people! This is a wake-up call. It's not every day you can make a real difference in the national security and your personal freedom. This is one of those days. A week from tomorrow, unless Congress acts now, President Obama will take one of the most profound and irreversible of all his measures intended to fundamentally transform the United States. America created the Internet and has kept it free ever since. Obama wants to turn over its functional control to so-called international stakeholders, which in practice means Russia, China, Saudi Arabia, and Iran. Once enemies of freedom control the Internet, it will cease to be the engine for the exchange of information and innovation we have helped it become. And we will never get it back. Please, tell your senators and representative, keep the Internet free. Do it today. This is Frank Affney.
Now more with Frank Affney.
We're back, joined for the first time, I believe, by Shireen Quddousi. I'm very pleased to say that she appeared yesterday before the House Homeland Security Committee and represented, I believe, a very large number of Muslims besides herself who do not find themselves represented at the moment by the so-called leadership of their community, almost entirely constituted of Muslim Brotherhood Front organizations, it seems. Shireen acquitted herself extraordinarily well, and we're going to be talking with her a little bit about it. But by way of background, she is a blogger at Quddousi Chronicles and a contributor to counterjihad.com and a new news service, The Present Danger. Her writings have appeared at the Middle East Forum, Family Security Matters, Pajamas Media, The American Thinker, The Federalist, and elsewhere. Shireen, welcome. It's very good to have you. And again, congratulations on what I consider to be really a very impressive testimony yesterday before the House Homeland Security Committee.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about this hearing. First off, who all appeared alongside you?
Well, we had the first panel, which was all on its own, and that was with George Dillon. He's the director of the Counterviolent Extremism Program. And then the second panel, in which I appeared, we had Peter Hoekstra. He's the Select Committee on Intelligence. He's a former chairman for that. We had Dr. Zudi Jasser, of course, a top North American Muslim reformer and president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. We had Sahara Aziz, a professor of law at Texas A&M University School of Law, and then you had myself.
And as to Sahara Aziz, she formerly ran, as I understand it, or at least was involved in the so-called civil rights, civil liberties section at the Department of Homeland Security, where George Salim currently works. I was very interested in both your testimony and hers, and let me ask you about yours first. Shireen, you talked quite powerfully about what's happening within the Muslim community in America and the difficulty that reformers like yourself and Zudi Jasser are facing, in part as a result of our government's embrace of those Muslim Brotherhood organizations.
Yeah, my testimony, my opening testimony, was very different from anybody else's that you may have heard of. It really dove into the history of Islam a little bit, and it talks about how Muslim reformers aren't an anomaly on the scene right now. So a lot of people are asking, well, I've never heard of a Muslim reformer, whether they're Muslim or not Muslim. People have the same question about what exactly is a Muslim reformer. Well, we are the newest resurgence of critical free thinkers in Islam, but we're not the first. So my testimony, the opening statement, went over sort of a history of other periods where we had free thinkers pop up and how they weren't successful. The number one reason they weren't successful was because they lacked political support, which is sort of the climate that we see right now. So what we saw happening in the past is happening again now. First, we are vehemently opposed from monolithic Islamic groups that want to remain in control and in power. And those groups today are gaining support from political allies, leftists, liberals, social justice warriors, people who may be really well-intentioned, but don't really understand what they're dealing with. So that's really the key problem right now, is that we're not understanding that, this A is an anomaly. This has been a struggle that's been going on for 1,400 years. And B, the second point is we're really fighting this sort of ideological conveyor belt that has produced this monolith in Islam, which is a complete diversion from the origin message or the origin story that Islam was intended to be. It's completely derailed.
Just on this larger point, Shireen, you've come under intense criticism, including in the aftermath of your testimony from one of these Brotherhood front groups, the Council on American Islamic Relations, actually founded by Hamas, as you know. You've described them as Muslim grievance professionals. Give us a flavor of what these individuals and organizations are doing inside your faith community and the real peril to both reformers like yourself and other Muslims as well, and to our country of empowering and legitimating and emboldening such individuals and organizations.
Well, it's a bit serendipitous because exactly what I shared in my testimony yesterday occurred and happened through CARE within hours after the testimony. So within the testimony, I talked about how, you know, exactly as you pointed out, that it's a dubious statement that Islam was at any point peace. I would say that Islam is both peace and war. And after the first 12 years, Muhammad ventured into being a warmonger. So that statement in my testimony, where I talk about Muhammad the man in a historical context to provide a foundation for why we see extremism today and why ISIS is Islamic and where they're drawing on this sort of divine providence that they have the right to act in these atrocities under the name of God. That was a statement that CARE flipped, and so they took the segment and they created a really sensational title that I'm saying Islam is terroristic, that Muhammad is a warmonger, or that the Prophet is a warmonger, and they spun it and they threw it on social media, on YouTube. Hassan Alush, the executive director of CARE LA, and Zara Bilou, the executive director of CARE San Francisco, went on social media and started going viral, and have received tons of hate messages and threats already. And this proves my point exactly, because in my testimony, I was saying that these groups like the Muslim Brotherhood organizations, whether it's, you know, CARE Today or their new banner, which is the USCMO, no matter how they spin themselves, they have the same MO. And that is to insulate themselves against any sort of critique within society, but to at the same time squash any minority or opposition voices. So while they say that Islam is peace, and that America should respect the views of everyone, they turn around and they strip me of my agency. They deny my role as a reformer or question my status as a Muslim, the same way they question Omar Mateen days after glorifying Muhammad Ali. So it's sort of a very cultish club of who's Muslim and who's not. So it's a bit of a double standard that, you know, they advocate civil rights for themselves and they deny civil rights for anybody else.
Let me ask you about the testimony of Shahar Aziz. She, in her testimony yesterday before Congressman Scott Perry's subcommittee and the Homeland Security Committee, alongside you, she denounced that rather vociferously, that whole project, CVE, as it's called. What do you make of this, Shireen? What is this about? And should we be taking her counsel?
The CVE program, it's really problematic in the sense that it tries to apply a bandage at the back end of a hemorrhage rather than addressing what's causing radicalization to begin with. That's one problem. Second problem that a lot of Muslims have with it, and I can't say that this is necessarily Sahar's perspective, but it, even though it breaks the spectrum of extremism and dilutes the danger of Islamic extremism by saying, well, there's white extremism, there's KKK, and those figures don't take into account global jihad. It just takes into account what's already happened on the surface in the States. Muslims will still not like that Islam in any context falls under scrutiny. But to go to Sahar's testimony, she really advocated for taking the funds away from CVE, from law enforcement, and putting it into social services without law enforcement supervision. That is a problem because, let's be honest, social services aren't that great to begin with. They're badly managed, usually questionably effective. There has to be some sort of monetization. Then the second issue is, and this is something that I talked about in my testimony, is you can't expect social services to fix a problem when Muslims don't flock to social services to begin with. The reason being is that there is a really strong Eastern mindset that you don't recognize mental and behavioral health issues. Even if you are aware that it exists, there's a denial, there's a hesitation to ask for help because it's bringing shame on yourself. And this is from, you know, Turkey to Japan. This is the same sort of mentality that floods the East.
I really saw this as an appeal to give the money to these Islamist organizations rather than social services. And that's really obviously a formula for disaster, given the management and direction of those programs. Shireen, we are out of time. There's so much more to talk about. I hope you will come back soon and often, for that matter. We value your voice and appreciate so much testimony you provided before the House Homeland Security Committee yesterday. I hope everyone will check it out. The videos are now available at counterjihad.com. Shireen, thank you. Stay well. Come back to us soon. Steve Blank joins us. We'll talk about the Russia-China axis next.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.